We try to arouse our guilt feelings by saying how far we are behind other more enlightened nations. They talk of a total government medical program replacing our present pluralistic system of government help for the needy plus private fee for service. But they shy away from any actual comparison with nations which have total government-run health care. One of the most persistent advocates of government medicine, Senator Kennedy, visited a nursing home in Denmark for 2 hours and was quite pleased with what he saw. Apparently, however, he never heard the Danish administrator of their socialized health plan say, "Don't ask me how to control medical costs." Virtually all of Europe's socialized medicine is afflicted with rising costs, underfunding, bureaucratic ineptness, decline in quality care, overusage, personnel and facility shortages, and lack of capital for scientific modernization. In England, they've resorted to cutbacks and sweeping reforms. Still, a senior official says, quote, "Yes, we've gone too far. Waits for medical service are growing longer. Fees have doubled." An English sociologist says, "Medical nursing and paramedic personnel, most of whom enthusiastically accepted the challenge of British National Health Service and enthusiastically tried to treat patients as patients, are now soured, disenchanted, and militantly organized in their own special interest." Public administrators override the independence of professional medical opinion. Progress raises expectations which can't be fulfilled. The best professionals are few in number. Therefore, it's impossible for more than a few to receive the best care. The latest scientific techniques rest upon expensive equipment. Therefore, only a few enjoy its benefits. End quote. Then came this telling line, quote, "Neither socialized nor private medicine can change these basic facts, but socialized medicine induces the belief that it can." A year or so ago, the people of Sweden voted Karl Marx out after 40 years of socialism. Maybe this statement by a Swedish official explains why. It sounds a little like England. Waits for medical service are growing longer, fees have doubled, the new hospital in Stockholm stands half completed for lack of funds, doctors leave the country in the summer to escape confiscatory taxes, the income tax rate at $33,000 of earnings is 102%. Alcoholism, drug addiction, VD, mental illness, and suicide rank among the highest anywhere. Is there anything in these comparisons to make us want to imitate any of them? As I've said before, you can't socialize the doctors without socializing the patient. Isn't it time we as patients gave the doctors a hand in their fight to keep medicine out of government's hands? This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan in his own voice, brought to you by K-Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call 423-4033.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Happy Friday. I'm Kenny Ennie. I'm here with Darcia Sevens. Say hello, Darcia.
Good afternoon, Kenny.
Welcome to our Friday edition. Lines are open. Probably that disclaimer today is going to be particularly important. Our views do not reflect the views of KPRL, the owner or management.
May not.
Probably not in some cases. So got a full show today. I really wanted to start off with a sports report from last week.
Oh, well, thank you very much for asking. I think that our team, a shout out to the small but mighty High Try USTA women's team.
USTA.
USTA, United States Tennis Association. So we represented San Luis Obispo County for the most part. There were eight of us that traveled down to Los Angeles, Irvine area, and we represented the Central Coast District of the USTA League. And there were eight of us that competed over the course of Friday, Saturday, and then we made it to the semifinals on Sunday. Then we're beaten by the team that went on to win, that then I think goes to nationals. So it, we had a great representation. To give you an idea, we were able to beat the we got number one in our flight, and our flight included teams from Los Angeles, like the league winners from Los Angeles, league winners from San Diego, and the league winners from Orange County, who have millions of people to choose from. And here we were, the eight of us, and I think we did a very, very nice showing. And we were representing our Central Coast Division and had a blast. So
awesome. Congratulations.
A shout out to, and I'll say their names. We have Kathleen, Teresa, Jen, Cassie, Angie, Shannon, and Rihanna. So good job, everyone.
Excellent. All right. Well, back to the news. Got a lot of things to cover today. Probably going to start local and work our way out nationally and internationally. I think Darsha's going to kick it off with the supervisors meeting. I will probably cover a little bit of Tuesday night's school board meeting because it goes into one of the concerns I have about the growing schism in the morals of society. Probably want to talk about Prop 50 and the redistricting wars around the country. And I'd still like to try to cover a little bit of Venezuela since we just did a visit board search and seizure of a very large oil tanker. And that used to be one of my favorite missions when I was on ship. So take it away, Darsha.
All right. Well, I thought I would report on this week's board meetings that I was able to attend. And last week was the water board and other, and I still contend that when you're going to these water board meetings, meaning the Paso Robles Area Groundwater Authority, quote-unquote authority, that it is torture in a lot of ways, and that we can call it being waterboarded when you're attending these water boards. But this week was the Board of Supervisors meeting on Tuesday, and then the Paso Robles Joint Unified School District board meeting Tuesday night. So you kind of have to make a choice in our area, whether you attend the city council meeting or the Paso Robles school board meeting. A lot of times they're on the same night.
Well, they're supposed to be alternating.
Yes, but a lot of times it does occur on the same night. In this case, I think it did this week. I didn't go to the city council meeting, but I do attend those from time to time. And I should note, as usual, this is Open Line Friday. We need to, anytime any caller comes in and calls in, you have the priority. You can change the conversation at any point in time. We love to hear from members of the community. I look forward to the Fridays, being in here and being able to hear from the public, hear what's going on, and having the conversations with Kenny. So we have conversations off mic, of course, and it's always interesting, and I appreciate your perspective. I know sometimes we can agree and disagree, and it's in good-hearted humor. And
it's all intended to make everything better.
Exactly. We are Americans at heart, and we have the country. Here's our country, you know, and there, where we are right now, we may have been in similar places, but in our lifetimes, I think that we are at a place where we need people to really be educated, informed, engaged, and trying to really save our city, our county, our state, and our country. So attending these board meetings and then having conversations with people, I had a great conversation with someone after the Board of Supervisors public comment section, and she comes from a very different ideological standpoint, but we had a very good conversation, and we probably agree on 90% of the things, and the 10% we don't agree on, I still stand on my what I believe is truth. And here's what was going on at the Board of Supervisors meeting. So there were two different areas that were a little bit controversial. And I'll call it controversial, but what it was being prompted by was the agenda item having to do with the Sheriff's Department and the purchase of about $100,000 of a grant that actually comes from a grant, and they were purchasing some an armored vehicle, or money's going toward an armored vehicle. And the comment during the public comment period was related to this being military grade, and that we didn't want our sheriff to be acting as the military toward, well, they use the term residents. So the discussion came up, and then there were more people in the regular public comment that were referring to the Sheriff's Department not acting in complete compliance with something that's called the Truth Act, where they're supposed to give a report as to the statistics involved in 2025 for ICE pickups, where the sheriff has made arrests or people are in jail and then they're being released, and ICE is there to pick them up once they're released from jail. So the issue became about the Sheriff's Department and really attacking the Sheriff's Department, and a plea to the Board of Supervisors to do something about it. So to hold the sheriff accountable. So what came of it, though, I think was, in reality, the undersheriff Nicholson, I appreciated his perspective. He came forward and said, listen, the reason why we don't have the 2025 statistics yet is because the 2025 year is not over yet. And so your whole point about not having a 30 days notice before the end of December, we are scheduled and have scheduled our meeting for January, the end of January, where all of the statistics will be released. And that will include the full 2025 year. And by the way, the same thing happened for 2024 year, where we released those, we had the meeting and reported on that in January of 2025. So turns out an entire year includes January to December, which they report on the following January. So that wasn't really coming out from the people who are really kind of instigating and stirring up this contention with the Sheriff's Department. So I thought they did a very nice job of presenting. I thought they, meaning the Sheriff's Department, did a nice job of saying, hey, these monies, the funding was already done several years ago, actually under the Biden administration, and these monies come from a grant. And so the Board of Supervisors, which does hold the purse strings, similar to Congress holding the purse strings for a lot that happens in the country. So many of the speakers, there were probably 15, 20 different speakers that came forward. And it was the allegations or the perspective was that ICE was, you know, were kind of jackbooted thugs, and that they were wearing masks, and that they were showing up in unmarked vehicles and disappearing people or kidnapping people. And so there was some discussion about what the reality was. And I think the biggest thing that came of it was that that ICE was at the lobby of the jail or just outside the jail, and that members, family members, were asking the Sheriff's Department, when are people going to be released? And the Sheriff's Department saying, we're not sure when that's going to happen. And people would get released, and then ICE would pick them up. So that was really the main contention, I believe. So I did try to remind people that we are still constitutional in this country, even though people try to say it's a democracy. And I continue to bring up that we are a constitutional republic, and that in that, that the federal government has authority over immigration, and immigration concerns the borders of our country. And that if people here are here illegally, meaning they have not become naturalized citizens and they're in jail for committing some other crime, whether convicted of that or not, they're still in jail. So when they're being released from jail, the sheriff, as I understand it, the sheriff, it's not about cooperating or collaborating or anything like that. They're releasing them from jail. And it is up to then ICE, that is completely separate. But if there's a warrant, if a judge signs a warrant, if a district court judge signs a warrant that says you must release this person to ICE agents, then I don't know of any sheriff, even in our state, that is willing to not comply with that request.
Right. As long as there's a court order directing that they be transferred to federal custody.
Correct.
It's a moot issue as far as I'm concerned.
So what do you think about the masking or not masking of the ICE agents? Or do you think that they're acting out of their jurisdiction?
Well, they're certainly not acting out of their jurisdiction because it's federal jurisdiction. When I worked down in South America, it was very common to see law enforcement with masks on. It was primarily because of the corruption within the system, the prevalence of cartels, and the fact that you basically had, when I was in Peru, it was very common, in Ecuador, and particularly in Colombia, but you basically had a state of civil war going on in those countries. And so all three of those countries, they don't have local law enforcement. They have a national police force. But those national police officers routinely were targeted. Their families were targeted. And so I'm very sympathetic to the ICE agents right now because they have to maintain their identity because they're becoming increasingly concerned not only about their safety off duty, but also the safety and the welfare of their families.
Yeah, when they're being doxxed and their addresses are released, or they're being followed, or they're being,
and you have elected officials that are talking about, you know, tracking them down and arresting them and things like that. In Colombia, in one of my tours down there, we actually lived in a house for lack of a better term, it was kind of a government housing area, but it was in Bogota. And not only did the military families live in there, but also the police, the judges. Everybody had to live in there because they were concerned for the safety of their families. And when I see what's going on here, it concerns me that we're going down that same road. Go ahead, caller. You're on with Darsha and Kenny.
Thank you for picking up. You know, I just tuned in, and I heard you guys talking about the protest about masks on ICE agents. Well, these are the same people who forced us to wear masks during COVID. It's the same ideology, you know.
It's the irony.
It is. And they're not, these people, they have an agenda. They're not really concerned about what's best for this country or what makes sense. They vilified these people. They've encouraged people to confront them. And they're upset because they want to protect themselves, their identities, and stuff like that. So I'm just venting because, you know, where were they a couple of years ago when they forced masks on us for no reason? And I got to tell you, I went out of my way to try and get COVID because I believe in that natural immunity is the best way. You know, I was hoping to run into someone who had a mild case. I would get a mild case, you know. So at any rate, that's my two cents.
I bet your mother was one of the ones that would send you to one of the chicken pox parties of youth. Do you remember those? Where someone in the neighborhood would get chicken pox and then everyone would get invited over to get the chicken pox so they could get it over with at the same time? Susie's,
you know,
got the chicken pox.
Let's
go over.
I remember that, but you know, I was born in '55, and you know, it seemed like just people got people knew, you know, people just I think had a better understanding that just let things happen naturally. I think that's the way I was raised. Actually, my dad was a physicist, and he understood the interaction between medications, you know, even legal ones in the human body, and how complicated that is. And, you know, they were very, very conservative. And my mother also came from a family of doctors who were actually kind of anti my mom had polio, and she was advised by her relatives in the medical profession, don't stay in bed. Get out, get active, and do stuff. And they were having people rest in bed. And my mom just said about, I know this is not possible for everybody, but my mom had very little side effects. So, but at any rate, the point is that these people are totalitarians. They want, they want the immigrants here. What? They don't care about the ones that peddle drugs and want to get driver's license.
And thank you so much. Point taken, and we will return right after the break.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So I was going to leave.
Thank you, Gary.
Before we realize it, we will begin celebrating another new year. At Davis Body Shop, we have taken part in over 50 New Year celebrations, and it started back in 1962. Over these years, our New Year's resolutions have remained the same, giving you impeccable quality workmanship, always giving you a written guarantee, giving you the very best value, and making sure that your experience is as pleasant as possible. And that includes assisting you in getting your insurance paperwork filed properly. Remember, at Davis Body Shop, you get a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Davis Body Shop has two locations, one on El Camino Real, downtown Atascadero, and the other on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet. From the Davis Body Shop family to yours, best wishes for a happy holiday season.
For decades, Kajon's Jewelry Company has believed in something simple. Honesty matters. And that's why we never discount. No inflated prices, no gimmicks, just fair, everyday value on jewelry we're proud to stand behind. But today, something truly special is happening. Kajon's is embarking on a new chapter, one built on our own creativity and our own craftsmanship. After years of partnering with incredible designers, we're excited to introduce our very own Kajon's designs in the coming year. To make room for this collection, we're liquidating our entire current inventory, and we're offering it at genuine significant discounts. As a heartfelt thank you to the customers and community who have supported us for generations. This isn't a sale for the sake of sales. It's a once-in-a-lifetime transition, a chance for you to own something beautiful at prices we will never offer again. December 2nd through Christmas Eve, we invite you to come in, explore, and be a part of this incredible next step in the Kajon's story. Kajon's Jewelry Company, where integrity shines as brightly as the jewelry itself.
When it comes to sustainable energy systems and service, Central Coast residents trust Solarponics. Marilyn from Templeton says, quote, Solarponics installed our system almost 20 years ago. There are occasions when your system needs to be serviced. With Solarponics, work is completed quickly with knowledge and skill. This is as important a part of a solar company as the original installation. Thank you, Marilyn, for your Google review. When we install a sustainable energy system, we're installing a lifetime of as important service. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
Attention Central Coast homeowners. Is your water heater over 7 years old? If so, replace it with a heat pump water heater before it fails and save thousands in energy costs. Plus, new rebates cover up to 80% of the cost. Call or click to get a free, no-hassle quote today. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
This evening from 5 to 9 p.m., Atascadero Sunken Gardens and the entire downtown will be transformed into a magical winter wonderland. With over 70 tons of snow, a massive snowslide, a snow pile area, Joe's Little Train, a bungee jump, face painting, along with live music and dance performances, and of course, a special visit by Santa. Shop downtown merchants and over 50 craft and food vendors. Winter Wonderland this evening, 5 to 9 p.m. Details at visitatascadero.com.
And welcome back to Sound Off. Happy Friday to everyone. And as I heard from one of our sponsors earlier, it's also called Pi Day. So please support your KPRL sponsors. We appreciate so many of the people who allow us to be here and allow us to be able to communicate with the local community, because I still contend that the KPRL listeners are probably the most informed, best informed, most educated and about politics in our local area. So one more comment about the Board of Supervisors meeting. We did have a little lesson about the Pledge of Allegiance. And where I'm going with that is that the Pledge of Allegiance, I reminded people that it was not even an hour and a half before that, where we were doing a Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And it's that word Republic that somehow... I heard the word democracy time and time again throughout the public comments, and we hear it in just about everything around us these days. And I'm here to say that a democracy is a dictatorship. Where you think a democracy will take you is it, every single time you have a democracy, it ends up in tyranny. It ends up in...
How many different types of democracy are there? More than genders that they teach in California school. No, there really are. I mean, I used to get in fights about this when I was going through graduate school, because we were being told at Naval Postgraduate School you have to go out and promote democracy.
I see.
And so we actually, they would teach you, you had to read all the different pointy-head intellectual politicians, and there were like 57 or 58 different recognized forms of democracy. And at that time, Saddam Hussein was considered by their definition to have a democratic system of government because he allowed elections.
Well, yeah, and that's where it goes. Now, when you allow elections and that's considered
there's
a democracy,
only one person on the
realize...
ballot, but
and it keeps getting counted
and
until
Joe
the
Biden
right
actually
person
got higher
it.
Percentages of the vote in some districts in the United States than Saddam Hussein got in his election as the only candidate.
There you go. So, yeah, well, who was it? Benjamin Franklin that said that democracy was basically two lambs and two
wolves and a lamb
deciding
figuring out what's
dinner.
For lunch. Yeah.
Exactly. So,
unfortunately,
let's
I'm
take
always
a vote.
On the lamb side. So.
That's not true. No, I do actually have a very good definition of democracy and versus a republic, and it's probably something I'm looking for it here. I should have had it here. It is right here. In a democracy, the majority rules. If the majority decided they wanted your bike, they could take it. In a republic, your bike is your property. And you do not owe it to anyone. If it cannot be taken against your will by law. America is a constitutional republic. Therefore, the Constitution is the law by which we are supposed to be protected. In a republic, the individual is protected from the majority by constitutional law. A constitutional republic is what we were given. It is up to us to keep it. So the difference is, in a democracy, the will of the minority is not protected. In a republic, the minority is protected by law. I like the republic. I like the idea of the republic, but we are in the are you able to keep it stage?
Right. And how do you destroy that republic?
Democracy.
Well, no, you go well, yeah, I guess. If you want to use that as
a redistricting.
Well, you destroy the republic. You destroy it by basically tearing down the pillars of the society, not educating people anymore on what it is. I mean, when you have to stand in front of a county supervisor meeting, or I have to stand in front of a school board meeting and educate the board members on what system of government you have, there's a failure within the education system to properly teach the next generation what it means to be a citizen.
And when they stopped teaching civics in the high schools, that was part of the design of eroding the entire educational system and your understanding of what it is to be a citizen. Mm-hmm. And participatory government, we yep. the people.
All right, we got to go to our long break. We'll be back in about 8 or 9 minutes.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.